All right, so we did review our verse, and would anyone like to summarize the quote that we've been talking about while I play with the computer? Anybody?
Most of our troubles in life are because we're listening to ourselves and not preaching to ourselves.
Good. And last week we talked about how some of you have really been able to put that into practice. And you've been able to preach to yourselves now that we're talking about it every week. It's the joy of coming together in study and accountability together. So some of our worst problems come from listening to ourselves instead of talking to ourselves. Is it going to do it now? Oh, yes. Yay. So the Word of God is living and active and brings hope to our most hopeless moments and curbs fears that we are tempted to struggle with. And in our verse, from the ends of the earth, I will cry to you. And I love the line, when my heart is overwhelmed, because don't we all have those moments where our heart is overwhelmed? And we cry out to the Lord, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I'm super excited for us to study the rock who is our God next week as we do the second half of this lesson number 3. But even Bobby and I were talking yesterday about when my heart is overwhelmed, what do I do? And if you really memorize that verse, this section, when your heart is overwhelmed and you ask the Lord to help you, he will bring to mind his living and active words, which include this psalm. What do I do when my heart is overwhelmed? I cry to God to lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And we know that he has the answers for us. Okay, really slow. So there on page 57 at the start of our lesson is Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And so the Word of God is not only living and active, but it gives us illumination, something we're going to talk about again when we look at Psalm 119. And reproof of instruction is the way of life. Do you guys like being reproved and instructed? No, we're kind of like, no, that's what happens when you're a kid and you can't wait to leave home because you're not being reproved and instructed quite so much. And the Bible, of course, takes what it seems contrary to our nature and flips it around and tells us, no, doing opposite of what you feel is actually the best thing for you. And so reproof of instruction, that is the way of life. We need to come to a place where we love being corrected. And that's not easy. It takes what primarily?
Humility.
And that's just not a dime a dozen laying around. It's usually hard fought and hard earned in submission to the Lord and his very truth, which we have here. So I know that in my life, I grew up under the scripture. I grew up in the church from the time I was 3. Let me see here. Oh, look at that. We'll take that. I'll take that. If it'll let me switch here. Okay, we are, how about this? Okay, that's not what my screen looks like, by the way. So I'm just going to leave it that way. No cheating on the tiny type. But I was in the church from the time I was 3. And so every time the doors were open, we were there. Sunday morning, Sunday night, VBS, Bible club in my backyard. I grew up knowing all the Bible stories and all of those things that I was taught. Even though, oddly enough, when I got to college, I realized I didn't know Paul had ever actually gone on a missionary journey. So I must not have been paying attention. I was like, what? What? 3? It's very shocking. But I went on to Bible college, and just as my 2 older kids are now, it's like a whole new level when you have professors with doctorate degrees teaching you about the Old Testament or the New Testament. You know, they're just like, wow, I didn't know, which is neat. You know, that we're building and building and building. And I was going to review this stuff here, but, you know, I'm just diving in. So we're going to go with that. I wanted to... Oh, where are we? Sorry. Am I in the right week? Yeah. I wanted to show you... Okay, can one of you, like, learn PowerPoint and, like, help me out here? The problem is the computer is... Okay, it's just really slow and I'm trying to rush it. I'm getting really hot right here, so don't mind me. Lucy's not here with her fan. I should have got it from you, Lucy. It's okay. Guess what I'm learning? Humility. Where in the world did I put these pages? Kristen, what if I took them out when I sent it to you?
You didn't send it. No, I took them out.
You took them out.
I had to convert it to a PDF.
Well, while we're waiting for the computer to catch up, you guys will forgive. I'm trusting the Lord to do his work through the mess that is me trying to work through technology. Our goals for tonight, to realize the essential work of God's word in effective and lasting life change. Maybe not effective communication from up here, but the essential work of God's word in effective and lasting life change. That is our goal. You don't want to be who you were the day you were saved. There needs to be forward motion and growth and change. That is the power of a living and active word of God. It should produce change in you. Tonight, hoping to increase your desire for the word of God. Together we can spur one another on in that. To examine the genuineness of your own salvation. Hopefully you got to walk through that a bit in the homework. To begin and or continue the process of heart evaluation regarding obedience to God's commands. Are you growing? Is it through obedience? That is the method. To gain a greater, along with faith, of course, to gain a greater understanding of the importance of ongoing heart evaluation and confession of sin. Another aspect of growth is through confessing your sin and growing, as we see in Psalm 32. To recognize that unconfessed sin can have physical effects. That's also why we studied Psalm 32 this week. And to gain insight into the connection between a word-filled life and a spirit-filled life. How do those things connect together? Come on, baby. Next slide. Oh! It's coming. So, we're going to look at Kids for Truth for a second. Remember, I was a child who grew up in the church, VBS, Sunday School, youth group. What are our children at this church growing up under? They are growing up under a very carefully selected program called Kids for Truth. Lots of churches do Awana. I actually didn't grow up with Awana. I was jealous of the kids who grew up in Awana when I was in college because they could recite a million verses and I couldn't. But this program is specific with 12 themes of the Christian faith that they go through over the course of 2 years. So if your child starts as a four-year-old, sounds like a promo. It sure can be. Pre-K and K. If they start in pre-K and they go all the way through and finish sixth grade, they will have reviewed those same 12 themes 4 times. And they'll memorize the verse 4 times, just adding to it every time. And the beauty of this is that they should walk away with an amazing apologetic of what is the Bible about and what is faith about, what's the Trinity, what's God's plan for the future. Basically, the most important 12 truths from this Word of God. And we want them to walk away with it. And literally next week, they are starting in theme 1, God's Word, the Bible, which is what we are talking about tonight. And so for the next 5 weeks, they are going to be studying. So I want you to ask yourself, do you know these fundamental truths that your children are learning? Are you, now if your kids have been in Kids for Truth for the last 5 or 6 years, you know, or some part of that, you would be familiar. But what is the Bible? The only inspired written word of God above all other books in wisdom, power, and authority. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, which is on page one of your study this week. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. And how can we know that the Bible really is the word of God? The Spirit of God helps us know that the Bible is true and that it is God's word. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. If your children are in Kids for Truth, they have to memorize all this by next Wednesday, if they're in fifth or sixth grade. So how are we doing with our four verses? That's right. Now I know they have young minds. I know. But we can do it. So this is 1 week. That our children learn what is the Bible, how can we know that the Bible really is the true word of God? How did God give us the Bible? Inspired by men to write his words, not by the will of men. Does the Bible teach any errors or lies? No. Children need to know that so they can trust this word. Mom and Dad say so, but how do I really know? Psalm 119, 160. What does the Bible teach us? The Bible teaches what God wants us to believe about him and how he wants us to behave before him. The obedience we were talking about. Can we be sure that God's word is still good and true for us today? Lots of people, oh yeah, this was good for the New Testament, Old Testament saints. We don't need it. Well, Matthew 5:18 says it will not pass away. Why do we need the Bible? How can we truly get to know God? What authority does the Bible have over us? How does God want us to feel about the Bible? Let's read it. God wants us to love the Bible so much that we are eager to trust and obey it. Psalm 119 that you read this week, 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And in one of the Psalms we read recently, it was about at night. So you put all the counsel of Scripture together, and it's all day, all night, all the time. So I want to encourage you. This is what our kids are learning. Do you know these things about the Bible? Do you know about the authors and how it came to be? Can you defend it? And most of all, do you love it? How do I know if I love it? I obey it. I am in it as if it is the very food for my everyday. You know, you're like, well, I haven't read the Bible this week. Well, did you not eat this week either? You know, there's an urgency to our need to know the Word of God, to take it in as healthy food for our souls. So imagine it that way. I have to feed my soul the truth of God's Word. And as we're looking at the aspect of hoping in God and battling depression, or, you know, any number of sins that we might come across, God has determined that this word here is the means for our life change, that we wouldn't get distracted by our circumstances, but always have our eyes fixed firmly on him, our prize. We want him to lead us to himself because he is higher than us. He has created us. So let's see if I can do a 2-minute summary here I wanted to do real quick. I asked too much. So let's see. If you have your little, what do you call them? Charts. You have your charts from the last 4 weeks that we added to. Charts. What's another word I used? The first one from week 1 and 2, when the soul is in distress. We are to remember. Who can tell me the first thing we said? The scriptures give hope. All right. So we have gone through several of these things about the scripture, and tonight we're just hammering it even harder. The scripture gives hope. The Old Testament gives examples of hope. In the Word of God, we see His faithfulness, His works, His wonders, His deeds, His attributes, His thoughts, His names, His promises. Everything we need is in the pages of scripture. So if you are wandering around in the desert of emotions and feelings and depression or any number of things, you need to be coming back to the solid truth of God's word. The answers are in this book. He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness in His word. That's what we need to remember. Here's the answers. Here's our hope. So we respond by, what's the first thing on there? Study God's word. Okay? You're not going to feed your body just by looking at the food, right? Oh, that looks good. No nutrients and just looking, okay? You're going to need to dig in a little bit more. You need to read the scripture and seek to apply it to your life. You need to read things that help you in understanding the scripture. You need to examine and evaluate yourself. And when you're struggling, you take that stuff you studied from the word and you preach it to yourself. Asking God for help in pursuing Christ. And then we had refuse. Refuse. The second thing was to be forgetful of God and His word. Oh, I have all these problems. I'm struggling. I need to go to I need to go see this person, talk to that person, sign up for this, go do that. Well, what about God? What about those times you forget to go to Him? What about those times you forget to check the word? Or ask yourself, what does God have to say about this? Or call your discipler and run something by her. This is what I'm struggling with. What do you think? Whoa, well, here, I know that scripture for that. God has a great way of teaching your discipler often what you need to know. So be very active. Let's see. Then, if you turn to your next chart, when God says wait, when He leaves you in the trial, come on, baby. Ooh, we're moving. Yay. Okay, that'll be tonight. But when God says wait, we have promises to cling to, responsibilities to do, and design for deliverance. So we were to remember that the Lord is good. He has promised in His word that He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, that He will renew our strength, that He will provide a way of escape so that we can bear whatever comes our way. He has told us that we have responsibilities to take care of while we're waiting for Him, while we're under the trial or in the suffering or struggling, battling our emotions and things that the Lord has brought into our life. We are to cry out to Him and pray. We are to see His faithfulness in the Word and give thanks to Him. We're to hate everything the Bible tells us that we are to hate. We are to desire to know Him and remember Him, and that comes through being with Him as He's revealed Himself in His Word to each of us. Are you finding all those responsibilities to be a joy, though? Are they a joy, or are they feeling like a burden? Sometimes they might feel like a burden, but again, we're taking our feelings to task, right, and preaching truth to them. Self, this should not be a burden. It's not a burden to eat cheesecake. Should not be a burden to read the word. At least it is if you're dairy intolerant, you know, then that's another something else. Pick something else. Design for deliverance. What was the point there? His word brings what deliverance? Healing? Deliverance from trials and life. Now the Lord is kind and frequently delivers us from trials and struggles. Not always before death, but frequently. But usually then you go back into another one. So we are not to be surprised by that fiery ordeal and to be learning His design for deliverance, when He wants us to wait, how He's teaching us to be humble, and how to keep our eyes fixed on Him through reading the Word, discipleship, prayer, talking with other believers, sharing the gospel, giving thanks. So, Now we are back to tonight. That was a moderately quick recap. And I'm not where I need to be. So, tonight we are in the Word of Truth. And I already read 1 Thessalonians 2:13 about the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. It is doing its work. So that is a great test of your assurance of salvation, right? Do you see God at work in you? So just as if you never ate the cheesecake, for our examples tonight, you won't gain extra weight, right? If you're not reading the Word of God, you're also not going to put on that good spiritual weight. Don't mind my analogies. They are not parallel. I did not write cheesecake in my notes. So you're not just going to spiritually grow without ever knowing God's Word. So I know this is very simplistic and basic, but we so often need to be reminded, especially in the place of suffering, that we need God's Word. It is our number one sustaining thing. I can't think of the word, sorry. So when we're in the trials, the adversity, and the suffering, what God's Word does for us and what God's Word reveals for us, this is your chart that we're going to make tonight and next week. And so we're going to start here now. And the Word of God should be at work in us, changing us into the likeness of God. It says, the Bible says that at salvation, we are given the Holy Spirit, that seal. We are given the power. We are given the way of escape to bear up under trials, and the Holy Spirit to grow his fruit in us. So we should be seeing spiritual maturity. All right, let's see. Yay. Okay. What God's Word does, it effectively works in believers. So that's a great test. Am I actually a believer? Well, the Bible tells us that when you read his Word, it should effectively work in you. What are some of the ways the Bible works in you? Convicts you of sin. Did you say instruct? Yes, so it's a teacher. It teaches us what kinds of things? Truth, doctrine. What else? Did you say promises?
Humbles
us. Thank you. It teaches us humility. Yes. Philippians 2. You think you're humble? Look at Christ. What else?
Comfort.
Good.
Teaches us about God and his character.
Yes. It teaches us about who God is and how we can be like him, be close to him. We have examples. These things were written for our learning. Each true story that's written in the scripture was carefully chosen. There's some pretty wild stories in there. I don't know if you've read through Judges recently, but there was some crazy stuff going on in there. Things you wouldn't want to be reading in your Bible time with your kids. But God says, no, this is my truth. And we should be able to carefully talk through those things with our kids. So I'm on page 59. I wrote over the page number. Page 59, towards the bottom there. Since the Spirit of God uses his Word to bring about life change, what must we know about the Word of Truth? And she goes on to list several things that she was taught as a child. I was taught that everyone is a sinner and that sin has separated us from God. And I was listening to John MacArthur's panel. I mean, it was just him on the panel, but his panel discussion with Austin Duncan from Sunday night. And he said, for 50 years, basically, he always seeks to preach. Like, these three elements always come into his preaching. The sinfulness of sin and the helplessness of man without God and the answer of the gospel. So, are those things that you are thinking about regularly? Are those things you're preaching to yourself? I am a sinner. What's wrong with my life? What's going on? I'm hopeless. Have you recently checked that you're a sinner? Have you looked to see if there is sin in your life? Let me see. I think this is... Yeah, so what God's Word reveals. It's the Word of God reveals the effects and the depths of man's sin. Should have used a bigger font. Sorry about that. The effects and depths of man's sin. We need to see in the Bible the truth about us. The Bible calls us dust, calls us worms, it calls us sinners, and then it also calls us many other things if we're in Christ. But we need to understand the sinfulness of sin, the helplessness of our very lives without God, and the answer of the gospel. And I was so encouraged hearing that, like, he's had a purpose for 50 years, just faithful to that purpose. And it's clear, and it's obvious, and how many of us he has helped by being so clear with the Word of God. So thankful for that. On the next page, she said, I was taught that my only hope of being saved from my sins was the forgiveness found only in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And in that first verse, it says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Praise the Lord, it is not by our works. Our works are as filthy rags, the Bible says, but it is in the next four verses, through Jesus, through God, through our belief and trust in him, he has given us salvation. So God's word reveals the one way of salvation. There's another thing to ask yourself. Can I articulate the gospel? Do I know how to share the gospel? Now, unbelievers could learn the gospel and share it. And someone could be saved, and they never may be. So there is an aspect of knowledge and truth, and there is an aspect of the heart engaging in believing, receiving, and confirming. And so we want to make sure that we're not in the unbelief camp and living like we're a believer. And that's what this section really is for, to help you confirm that your calling and election are sure. And that is C. I was taught that once I had prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I should never doubt my salvation. And she says, that was not exactly true. So 2 Peter 1:10, I just quoted, and it says, practice this. And 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself and test yourself. So here's my question to you, ladies. What is the difference between examining and doubting? It was not in your homework. What do you think the difference is? Between examining and doubting.
I think, like, doubting is you're just saying stuff to yourself and you're just thinking things, where examining is you're going through it in a biblical way and you have steps and you're looking at your life for the evidence, like those fruits.
Uh-huh.
It's like a more proactive way.
Okay. Good. So when you're examining, you're testing for the positivity. Like, these are the things that line up with Scripture. So, okay, got A, got B, got C. I've examined it. Or you're examining, I don't have A or C, just B, you know, for example. And then doubting often is, you know, you're questioning it. It's more of, did you want to say something, Linda?
I was just thinking maybe it's the motivation behind what you're doing.
Sure.
Where when you're doubting, you're looking for faults and failures. And when you are examining, you're trying to be objective and say, you know, true or not true.
Yeah. So that's a great question, especially in light of our discussion on depression. Those who are in depression tend to be what? Examining or doubting?
Doubting.
Doubting.
It strikes me as in doubting, but it kind of ties on to what you were saying, that you're stuck, where in examining, you're trying to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, In doubting, you could be like this downward spiral, and you're just, you know, you're not going anywhere. But in examining, you're trying to grow.
Yeah. In that MacBook, in that spiral that ends in that trash can of despair. Sorry, just got to say it as often as I can. Trash can of despair. You know, there's like doubting, which leads to discouragement, which leads to despair, which leads, the trash can of despair. So God's word reveals the importance of heart evaluation.
In a way, like faith, in the sense that faith by itself is nothing. It's faith. It's the object of the faith. So wouldn't doubting be kind of the same? You can examine yourself, and when you don't find those fruits or that evidence of salvation, you could then begin to doubt that you are saved, and that would be a good thing.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So it's all according to what it is you're doubting,
uh-huh.
whether you end up in the trash can of despair.
Or spiritually growing.
Exactly.
Yes. So we have to do this heart evaluation and say, am I truly saved? Am I in fellowship with Christ? And if you doubt that, as Diana is saying, what is it you then do with that? Do you move forward towards, well, I know, according to the word, I need to be saved. I need to be in fellowship. I need to be having the word of God effectively work in me. Or do you go the other direction away from God? The next thing that she said is, while genuine salvation is forever and never can be lost, and there are a lot of verses there, hopefully you got to look at, there are times in life when we do not feel the assurance of our salvation. And in those times, we must ask ourselves whether or not we have ever genuinely repented of our sinful ways and turned to Christ as the only means for salvation. We must make our call and election sure. And so if your whole testimony is, there was this one time I prayed a prayer, there was this one time I walked an aisle, there was this one time, but since that time, there's been no change. You're not showing Christ's power to change a sinner into the image of Christ. Then that is reason to say, perhaps that was a well-intentioned time. It was a growth in knowledge. I was learning things and I wanted it, but I didn't really turn from my sin and believe on Christ as the only means of salvation. And so we have to realize that the scripture, because she's talking here about even when you don't feel like it, again, the food analogy, the scripture is our food. Even in the Bible, it's like, your word, I ate it. You know, it's just the idea of, it's so good, I must take it in. And it's not just when you feel like it. We don't always eat because we feel like it. We know it's good for us, or we know it's healthy, or we have to monitor our blood sugar, those different things. We don't want to pass out because we have small children. And so it's not just about how you feel. It's about knowing that you need this nourishment. This nourishment will reveal your true state, and it will show you the promises of what your true state can be in Christ, which is all the exciting stuff beyond the stuff we just talked about, which is getting to the place of salvation. And if you are at this point right here through the study or tonight, and you're not sure, then of course we want you to talk to your prayer leader or to a pastor or to your husband, father, whomever it may be in your life. And make sure that it isn't just a head knowledge, but it's a life transformation. And it's what you're desiring to live. Over on page 61, she says, our relationship with God is so important because our eternal destiny rests on it. And the Holy Spirit is the one who is given to us at salvation. He gives us the power to live changed lives. In those verses there, it says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And that should be the heart's cry of every believer. God, I want you to work in me. Make me useful for you. Change me for your sake. Not just to be popular or get along with everyone at church or just to have peace in your home, but to give glory and honor, to allow God to do his work in you. If you'll skip down to the bottom of the page, this part was kind of hard, just being honest, because she's like, hey, just put an X by any statement that applies to you. And so I'm like, check, check. And then at the end, she says, if you put any checks, this is a time of repentance. I was like, maybe that one was not really. Anyone else, or is that just me? Thank you, Sue. So you don't have to admit anything, but if you placed anything specific. If you placed a check mark on any one of those boxes, show us your hands. Okay. So I just wanted to read them. I want to read them in the opposite. I want to read them to you as positive traits that you should be looking for in your life. Do you see these patterns in your life? Do you see this obedience to God's commandments? Do you say you love the Lord and live dependently on his word? Do you spend more time thinking about God and his answers and promises than about yourself and your little kingdom? Are you looking to God for your comfort and help before you look around you to things like food, sleep, work, TV, medication, etc.? I hope you're being encouraged hearing the other side. Are you putting off and killing sin in your heart? Are you turning towards believers who share God's love and truth with you? These are positive signs. Are you rejoicing in your circumstances, whatever they may be? Are you seeing your past, your family, and others as God's providential work in your life in revealing your failures and struggles? Are you not allowing your mind to become obsessed with sorrow over a particular fault, decision, or action in your past, but allowing God to work humility in you as you come under his work in your life? Are you overcoming guilt and dealing with it biblically? Are you putting off fear and anxiety and not allowing them to take control of your life? Hopefully, if you studied fear in the spring, you got some great hooks of scripture and truth that you are bringing back to mind. And I hear it from a lot of you all the time. The Lord was so providential to allow us to study that right as COVID was starting. Let's see. Are you succeeding in searching out biblical help for your depression, your emotions, your feelings? Are you preaching to yourself instead of listening to your feelings? Are you strengthened in your faith and hopeful in God? Have you relied on the Lord and relied on the Lord and relied on the Lord and persevered through his enabling strength? And have you made yourself accountable to a godly discipler to help you with all of these things, or made yourself vulnerable in these things with your spouse or with another person? I hope you're encouraged seeing that, both from the side that you need to repent, and hopefully you did, like I had to stare at those and repent, and then also to be encouraged about the positive side, to see what the Spirit actually does in the life of a believer. If you read these positively, that is his work in you. Now, over to part two. We're going to move over to page 63. Every week we lose a little time to the digital stuff. So we're talking about ongoing self-examination of thoughts, actions, and motives, that time, literal time in the Word. Listening to scripture, reading scripture. Remember, you want to have your book over the other books you're reading. I'm sorry, that did not come out right. You want to have the Bible over the other books you're reading that are man's words helping you necessarily to read this word. So reading the pure milk of the word, Lord willing, digging in and studying it more on a meat and potatoes level than still on the baby bottle level of the Word of God. You're all mamas. I know, or not you are mamas, but you're all mother types. Will be. Yep. Anyone else want to come up here and do this for me tonight? So we want to be growing in the pure milk of the word and moving on to the meat and understanding and digesting the deeper truths. All of our pastors and elders all started out as baby believers. When I met my husband, we were both 19. He didn't know any Bible stories. Who's Jonah? Oh. He knew no Sunday school songs at all. He still only knows a handful. And he was studying the Bible. So he started at college-level Bible. 4 years later, seminary-level Bible. And so, you know, we're trying to get our kids started early, which is a fantastic thing. That was the story of Timothy in the Bible, and that from childhood. You have been taught the sacred writings. But Mark has had to work at double time. So keep in mind that everyone you know who is spiritually strong once was the baby, and they have diligently worked, come under the Lord's teaching, and progress the way the Lord wants us to. So we're going to, let's see, what kind of time do we have? All right, so the Lord has ordained that we need to skip Psalm 32 tonight. I'm sorry. But I think that we will just list it on here. Hopefully you did your study and you saw that that God's word reveals that there are effects in our lives of unconfessed sin. There is guilt. Often guilt leads to anger with people that aren't even related. It can have physical effects on your body, as David talked about in Psalm 32. But God's word reveals our hope, ladies, that God offers forgiveness. God's forgiveness is revealed in his word. And God's word also reveals and tells us how joy is restored to the joyless, how joy is brought to those who are suffering, how joy can come to you even in adversity, even if you're in prison. I love that someone posted and I reposted John MacArthur saying, you know, I've never had a prison ministry. Okay, wow. So would I say that? If I end up in prison, okay, this is the new ministry. This is where God has me. It's all about our perspective on the adversity, right? We might say, that would be the worst case scenario. Not in God's economy. Go through the Bible. Look at where he put his men and his women. Look at their trials, their adversity, their suffering. And look at the purification as they came forth as gold. Let's see. I think this is also from Psalm 32. What God's word does right here, it transforms us into the image of God by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the transforming power that helps us become the image of Christ. So we are going to move on to Psalm 119. You ladies can just take one and pass it. I just cut these out. I guess this color hasn't been popular in the church building for a while. I think there's going to be extras on this side, or there's just a lot of you tonight. If you have a piece of notebook paper and you'd rather do that. But the card idea is to make it handy for you. And looks like I left mine on my table. I was able to fit all 22 points on one side. I did like two columns like this on my little card. And I want to keep my card handy to remind me of what a spirit-filled life looks like based on Psalm 119. I think we have enough back here. Ladies. I was talking about this. Did anyone else need one? I have some extra. All right, so open your Bibles to Psalm 119 if you are not already there. If you like writing in your Bible, you can write this there too, but the card will help if you want to post it somewhere or use it as a bookmark somewhere else in your Bible. Psalm 119, things every believer can expect from being in the Word of God. All right, so you can see on your paper if you want to list that. So on, if you want to do two columns, you're going to write blessings and verse, just a two or something, cleansing and correction of both heart and life. And verse 9 and 11, this is from right here in your Bible study. But I want to read Psalm 119 along with you. Psalm 119 is the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And I had a chuckle with the Pignatis, I think it was, last night. All my older children can sing the Hebrew alphabet because Mark used to brush their teeth while singing his Hebrew alphabet. It's like to Old MacDonald had a farm. And it's funny because like 8 to 10 men at our church are learning Hebrew again right now. It's another reason I loved that video, is just seeing how meticulously they had to write even that alphabet. And that was like ink and paper, but in Old Testament days it was like clay tablet and stylus. So here we have Psalm 119, which is 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and each section had 8 verses. It was very poetic, and if you would read it in the original language, there would be all these poetic things you'd notice about it that don't necessarily translate in the English. But also, like Proverbs 31 is also the alphabet. And so the original authors, God used their even poetic ways to write his scripture. And the section that we're going to start with, Aleph, so the A, so to speak, of the Hebrew alphabet, is our first thing. What things can every believer expect from being in the Word of God? Blessings. And I would love for you guys to read. I think it's great when we hear each other read, but because of Zoom, I don't think it's wise for me to have you guys read because they can't hear you. So I'm sorry, you're just really stuck with my voice as long as we have Zoom. So let's read verses 1 through 8. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Here's the key verse. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. What kind of words did you see in there describing the Word of God?
Law.
Statutes. Law, statutes.
Testimonies.
Precepts. Commandments. Statutes. Rules and judgments, ways. Good. So obviously, the psalmist keeps saying, God's word, God's word, God's word. And if you look at those words, it is guidelines. It is, this is the right way, walk in it. And as we get further on, you're going to be shown that the word of God, these rules, these statutes, the testimonies are light. They are light to our path, and they are to be embraced and loved. If you love God, you will love his testimonies. And this first section says that we receive blessings. The next section, how can a young man or woman, we are not exempt, keep his ways pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. By the way, we quote that in Kids for Truth all the time. Children, why do we memorize all these verses? So we may hide God's word in our heart so that we may not sin against him. Very key verse that we need to constantly remind ourselves and our children about. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This section, key verses 9 through 11, are on the cleansing and correction of both the heart and the life. And if you are filled with the Spirit, you should see him cleansing you of your sin, correcting your heart, helping you to make changes in your life. And that will be a blessing for you to see that. Moving on, verse 17. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. And so we see this section, a spirit-filled life has divine counsel from the word of the Lord. This section shows us that this psalm was written while the psalmist was under duress and in a trial and under adversity and affliction. He was being scorned, under contempt, being plotted against. And yet look at all the rejoicing in God through the trial. Verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me. Graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. And so the spirit-filled life is one that has strength according to the word of God. This is where your strength is. It's from knowing and acting on the word of God through the power of the Spirit. Verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts, and in your righteousness give me life. Ladies, verse 35 is highlighting that we have power to walk in obedience, and it should be a joy to walk in obedience. So when you see that sin in your life, maybe one of the things you checked a couple pages back, you know that God gives you the power to walk in obedience, and it should be your delight to put off those things, to be pleasing to him, and know that he is the power in you to obey him. Verse 41, let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually forever and ever. And I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. I was reading from the ESV, which says, I shall walk in a wide place. And you can see in your workbook, it says, I will walk about in freedom. And he has indeed set us free. And so freedom from sin and eternal damnation, and the guilt of those things is part of the Spirit-filled life. Praise the Lord. And our next section, hope and comfort. Verse 49, remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes, though, have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. So encouraging to see him seeing the circumstance and finding hope and comfort in God's word, in his law, in his rules, it says. So that was hope and comfort, which I saw in verses 50, 52, 49. That was one that you filled in where you found it in that section. All right, moving on. Verse 57. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. And this section is labeled adequacy and ability to obey. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I love the speediness. It says, I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Verse 65. This section is called Encouragement in Affliction from verse 67 and 71. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. What do you think about this one? Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes.
The Lord disciplines those he loves. So.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't care.
Yeah, Hebrews 12 talks about that. Whom a father loves, he disciplines. But sometimes the trial or affliction is not discipline, right? What is that? What could that be? Yeah, discipline or consequences. And what else? Yes. James 1, producing endurance, stretching us. If we're supposed to be growing, I mean, look at a small child. They go from a microscopic cell, stretching. They say if, what, little tiny children grew at that same rate their whole life, they'd be, you know, like a skyscraper. There's a lot of stretching, a lot of growing. Our own bodies, when we're pregnant, stretch.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God, they mostly stretch back. And so the Lord is sometimes disciplining us. Sometimes we're going through a consequence for a sin. Sometimes he just wants to stretch us. Sometimes he just wants to refine us and burn off the ugly sin that still remains so that the gold can be revealed. and so that we can shine a brighter light for him. So we must see trials, adversity, suffering, and affliction as good for us. So, if you're in an affliction right now, what do you need to preach to yourself?
It's good for me.
This is good for me. Tomorrow, when a new affliction comes, what do you need to say to yourself? This is good for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Or that trial that you have had for so long that the Lord is not taking away. What do you need to preach to yourself? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes and keep your word. And the Holy Spirit within you will give you the power to obey his word and to count it all joy when you endure various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith is for a very specific reason, whatever it may be. Verse 73. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. But as for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes that I may not be put to shame. This section is called Tender Mercies from verse 77. Which is compassion and comfort. You can expect compassion and comfort from your Father God who loves you. And I also love in verse 74, it talks about how when we see each other, we rejoice. We should rejoice when we see the Holy Spirit at work in one another and encourage one another in that. 81, my soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise, and I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. This section definitely shows him in suffering, and so this is the ability to persevere. How long, O Lord? As long as he sees fit and what is best. 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me. For I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me. But I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. And this is about security in uncertain times, kind of like the last 6 months. Regardless of whatever happens in our country, our state, our world, may we not doubt this. Keep hearing the word hope in here. Hoping in his word, loving his precepts. 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And so here we see that a spirit-filled life is one that is filled with understanding and wisdom. The fear of the Lord gives us wisdom and understanding. Verse 105, and this is about guidance, this section. Holy Spirit, a life filled with the Holy Spirit is guided. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. What great guidance from the word of God. Verse 113. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe, and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. This section she called sustaining power. 121. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good, and let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding, that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right, and I hate every false way. And here we have spiritual discernment, that the Lord would teach us his statutes and give us understanding. And it's such a gift that the Lord has given each one of his children, each one of us, the Spirit of God to remind us of his truth. So we hear it, we read it, we study it, we meditate on it, and it grows our discernment. 129, home stretch, ladies. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promises, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. This section is labeled insight and illumination. I saw in verse 130 that the unfolding of the God's words give light, and that in 135, he says, make your face shine upon your servant. 137. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding, that I may live. In this section, we have a zeal for righteousness. 145. With my whole heart, I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. This section, it shows that a spirit-filled life has assurance that God hears our prayer and our cries. 153. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust, because they don't keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. And this section is assurance that God is faithful to revive and deliver. Two more sections. 162. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. I think we would do well to memorize verse 165 here. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Because we tend to be fearful. Women in general tend to be more fearful. Sinners tend to be more fearful. And this says we have peace when we love God's law, and nothing can make us stumble. What a gift of the Holy Spirit to help us be strong. And so that might be an encouraging verse for you to memorize when you are struggling. Okay, the Word of God has promised that nothing will make me stumble, that I will have great peace when I love His law. And so I am going to it now for its help. Last section. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. And this section focuses on a spirit-filled life shows a heart full of worship and praise. Even though, as you can see in the very last verse, he's saying that I am like a lost sheep. But what is the overall sense of this whole chapter? What do you get from it? Depressing? Is it a depressing psalm? Is it an imprecatory psalm? At parts. He's wishing consequences on his adversaries. But overall, such worship and praise and joy and assuring and preaching to himself the truth of how valuable God's word is. What a spirit-filled life. So if you remember our goals for tonight, a spirit-filled life and the Word of God, they can't be pulled away from each other. They are inseparable. So one who is all spirit and no Word of God, problem. Or one who's all Word of God, study, but no Holy Spirit, they're just going to be a encyclopedia, right? So there must be the Holy Spirit and the Word of God together. Pardon me. And so the last thing on our list, I think, God's word reveals what God's word does. That's what we just read in the last 176 verses, and why I'm going to need this throat drop. God's word reveals and it tells us what God's word is capable of doing in our lives. So if you have issues, struggles, depression, hopelessness, fear, concern, unsure, insecure, keep going. The word of God and the spirit within you have the answers for you to go to run to love. So you want to love this word and feed your soul with the truth of it.